WDEE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News, New Orleans attack. I'm Dave Packer. An update minutes ago about the investigation into the deadly ramming attack on New Orleans Bourbon Street on New Year's Day. Assistant Deputy Director Christopher Rea of the FBI says they believe that U.S.-born Shamsed Din Jabbar of Texas acted alone and that Jabbar himself planted the two explosive devices found in the French Quarter.
We did obtain surveillance footage showing Jabbar placing the devices where they were found.
Jabbar declaring his support for ISIS in one of five videos posted online.
Jabbar explains he originally planned to harm his family and friends, but was concerned the news headlines would not focus on the, quote, war between the believers and the disbelievers.
The attack leaving 14 dead in addition to the killer. Investigators say they have found no definite link between the attack in New Orleans and the deadly Cybertruck explosion outside a Trump Hotel in Las Vegas the same day. This is ABC News.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For WRCE 107.7 FM News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
Regulation of AI could be on the agenda for state lawmakers. Senator Julian Bradley co-chaired a study committee which held monthly hearings beginning in July. Bradley said they wanted to hear from the people that are utilizing this technology on a regular basis to make sure that their viewpoint and the viewpoint of those that is going to touch on a daily basis is heavily noted in anything that lawmakers take forward. The panel did not propose legislation, but does recommend a permanent committee on AI. Bradley said our interactions with AI technology will only increase. Governor Tony Evers and Assembly Speaker Robin Voss also organized AI task forces last year. State Senate Majority Leader Devin Lemahieu is ready to get to work in Madison. The Utsburg Republican said the most important thing that lawmakers do every session is a budget. Governor Tony Evers will introduce his budget at some point in February. Lemahieu said leaders have been working with Evers on a date for a State of the State address and the budget address. The Republican leader tells WOMT Radio in Manitowoc that providing tax relief from the state's budget surplus of over $4 million remains a priority. The new legislative session begins next week. The Wisconsin Department of Motor Vehicles says they were plenty busy in 2024. Administrator Tommy Winkler says the DMV conducted nearly 2.3 million transactions, including over 922,000 vehicle registration and title transactions and more than 928,000 driver license and identification cards. The DMV opened two new centralized emissions testing facilities. The DMV is also updated the motorist handbook and added three new specialty license plates in 2024.
For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
The Packers lose their top defensive back. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Cornerback Jaire Alexander suffered a knee injury back in October against the Jaguars. Packers head coach Matt LaFleur asked if there were any updates.
Yeah, I would expect Ja, most likely he's going to be done for the rest of the year.
Is that injury related?
Yes.
So you having surgery?
Yes.
Alexander had his right knee scoped on Tuesday. A report says he could be back by mid-February if the Packers are in the Super Bowl. I asked safety Xavier McKinney what it's been like watching Jaire struggling to come back.
Yeah, it's been tough. You know, he's dealt with, you know, this injury pretty much all year. Obviously, we wanted him to be back out there, but, you know, injuries are part of the game, so we understand that. We know that he's been working, you know, or he was working to, you know, try to get back, but it's like every time he was trying to, he would tweak it again. So it's a part of the game.
NBA, the Bucks in action tonight in Milwaukee. They host the Brooklyn Nets. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
More clouds than sunshine today, with high temperatures reaching the mid-20s. But with winds becoming feisty out of the northwest, it's creating wind chills. And feeling sub-zero by tomorrow morning. We do have a bright and beautiful day on tap, but with highs in the teens, it'll be feeling more like the single digits. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
Right now, it's 25 degrees.
Matt and Air on Air. This shouldn't be a thing.
Hot Dr. Pepper is the hottest holiday drink, but is it any good?
Jade, I'd like to answer that question.
Yes.
No. Have you ever had a hot soda in your life?
Yes, they're terrible. You can also do apparently 80% eggnog and 20% Dr. Pepper.
Get out of my country.
Matt and Air on air, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, hard to believe, the one-year anniversary of Matinair on Air. We're going to celebrate and wrap it all up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. I hope you can join us.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings at 10. You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. Todd Albaugh, along with our outstanding producer, Mr. Aaron Zommers, on the board. It is 6 now, past the hour of 12 noon on this Thursday, January 2nd, 2025. Great day to be in Wisconsinite. Welcome in, everybody. Glad to be along with you. Hope you enjoyed our special New Year's Day show. Many thanks to my sister, Heather, for being on the show yesterday. Mr. Zommers had a lot of fun kind of looking at some of the New Year's games. Watched several. Mr. Zommers, welcome into 2025. Did you watch the Rose Bowl parade or the Rose Parade, any of the games yesterday? You just kind of chilled out after your party on New Year's Eve.
I did not watch the Rose Parade, but I watched some of the games. I watched the, what was it, the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl or whatever the heck, or and I think the Fiesta Bowl, whichever one of the games went on for like 4.5 hours is the one that I watched.
The big double overtime game last night.
That was the one that I watched.
Arizona State
and then
Texas.
After that, I was like, okay, I'm footballed out.
Well, I watched them. We'll talk a little bit more about that. Of course, the Sugar Bowl was delayed. It'll begin at 3:00 Central Time this afternoon on ESPN. After that deadly terrorist attack yesterday in the early morning hours of 2025 in New Orleans, in the most big celebrations going on down in Bourbon Street. So far, 15 people are now confirmed dead. We're going to talk about that and use this as an opportunity to demonstrate a little bit what we talked about, ironically, earlier this week, where we get our information from. What the story was in the early moments of this tragedy from some news sources versus what it turned out to be the truth and reality and how the spin gets put on this. We'll break that down for you a little bit as well. Of course, in Washington, D.C. tomorrow, January 3rd, there is an election for House Speaker. Mike Johnson can essentially lose 2 votes, maybe 1, depending upon who shows up to vote. And that could affect the certification on January 6th of the presidential election. Will that make a difference on getting Mike Johnson or anyone elected speaker? We'll break that down for you. The Brewers, by the way, have a brand new TV contract. Outbreak of norovirus. Going to tell you how to try to stay safe. Wash your hands in hour number 2. A little bit of what's worse. Centering around the holidays. Your phone calls as well at 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. But at 9 minutes past the hour of 12 noon, we have some breaking news, 2 major stories across the state of Wisconsin, and want to get that to you right now. According to Channel 3000, the CBS News affiliate here in Madison, a kindergartner died this morning after an accident involving a Silver Springs Intermediate School in Sussex, involving a bus at Silver Springs Intermediate School in Sussex. In a letter to families, Hamilton School District Superintendent Paul Mielke said the 4K student was at SSI to get on a shuttle bus bound for Willow Springs Learning Center. The district would not share information, further information on the tragedy out of respect for the child's family. Quote, we understand tragedy is sure to raise many emotions, concerns, and questions for our entire school community, especially our students, Mielke said. Our student services team immediately began working with students and staff at several buildings this morning and will continue to provide support during this difficult time. In a post on Facebook, the Waukesha County Sheriff's Department said it was investigating a bus accident at Silver Springs Intermediate School and would provide further information later today. Sheriff's officials said there was no active threat to the school or the surrounding area. Again, very important news, particularly for our listeners on WAUK and Waukesha County. A kindergartner died this morning after an accident involving a bus at Silver Springs Intermediate School in Sussex. We will update you, of course, through Civic Media News should more information become available. Our thoughts, our prayers certainly go out to the Waukesha County area and the Silver Springs Intermediate School in Sussex to all those involved. The other story breaking about a half an hour ago here in Madison, the Wisconsin Elections Commission this morning has voted to investigate the Madison City Clerk's Office after 193 unprocessed absentee ballots were found during post-election audit processes. The commission, made up of six members appointed by both Democrats and Republicans, argued a lack of transparency from the Madison clerk required the commission to dig into the process. Quote, this was such a serious oversight, unquote, Commission Chair Ann Jacobs, a Democratic appointee, said during the meeting. Jacobs said she would send formal guidance to commission staff by the end of today, stressing the urgency to finalize an investigation quickly. Candidates for the next spring election have already begun circulating nomination papers, and the deadline for ballot access is this coming Tuesday. Quote, I don't see this as punishment, unquote, said Commissioner Marge Bolsman, a Republican appointee. Quote, we need to investigate this so it doesn't happen again in the future, unquote. Madison City Clerk's officials first discovered the problem November 12th, when staff found a sealed courier bag with 68 uncounted absentee ballots. That number rose when city staff found another bag on December 3rd with 125 more uncounted ballots. City staff alerted the WEC weeks later on December 13th. The WEC also briefly heard a proposal by another Republican appointee to the commission, Bob Spindell, to launch a similar investigation into Milwaukee's election process, but it was rejected for procedural reasons. That also coming to us from Channel 3000, WISC, the affiliate here, CBS affiliate in Madison. Again, Wisconsin Elections Commission votes this morning to investigate Madison's uncounted ballots. Couple of things from this story. Number one, I'm all for this, by the way. I think that it should be investigated. If there was an honest mistake made, that should be pointed out. It doesn't appear to be anything nefarious or intentional, but good to have a legit investigation to make sure that's not the case. Number two, at the end of this, Bob Spindell, who of course is one of the fake electors from 2020, he wants to investigate Milwaukee's election process as well, but to both the Democratic and other Republican appointees to the WEC, they rejected that for procedural reasons. Pretty rich coming from Bob Spindell to try to investigate Milwaukee's election process. But the serious point to this, and again, to my knowledge, the 193 unprocessed ballots here in Madison would not have made a difference in terms of an outcome of any of the elections, either local or statewide, but good to have it on the ballot and good to have that investigation and make sure that everything is kosher, so to speak. Mr. Zobbers?
Yes, the Dane County Clerk's Office also did confirm that it would not have had any impact on results of any elections.
Well, there you go. So very good. So nothing would have been, even if all those missing ballot or uncounted ballots would have been gone for one candidate or another, wouldn't have made an election or a difference. But good to have it investigated. I'm all for it. I'm glad that the Democratic members joined with Republicans on the Wisconsin Elections Commission to vote to investigate and get to the bottom of it and get answers. That's the only way to keep confidence in our election process.
I certainly agree.
14 minutes now past the hour of 12 noon. As we said, big news throughout the day. Yesterday was monitoring it all day long, and it's certainly a tragedy. Going to get into this a little bit more here as the morning unfolds. I think most of us now know, this is from the Associated Press, kind of the update right now on what has gone on in the early morning hours around 3:15 on New Year's Day down in New Orleans. Here are the facts at this hour. A driver behind the wheel of a pickup truck raced into a crowd of New Orleans revelers on Bourbon Street early on New Year's Day. The death toll is now at 15 in what the FBI investigators are calling an act of terrorism. After the vehicle stopped, the driver emerged from the truck and opened fire on responding officers, according to New Orleans police. Here is the latest on the attacker. What we know so far, the driver was killed in a firefight with police following the attack around 3:15 a.m. on Wednesday. He was identified as 42-year-old Samsud Dim Jabbar. The vehicle was rented, the vehicle that he owned, a pickup truck, used the attack, rented via a service called Turo. I never heard of it before. Turo, apparently an app that connects drivers with vehicle owners. The company confirmed they are partnering with the FBI in the investigation. And as we said at the top of the show, the Sugar Bowl has been postponed. The attack prompted the postponement of college football playoffs quarterfinal game at the nearby Superdome last night. And it will be moved until today. The Sugar Bowl was initially scheduled for last evening. It's going to be played around 3 o'clock kickoff on ESPN today. Couple of things of note. The truck used was a Ford Lightning. It was an electric vehicle. Why is that important? According to investigators, a couple of reasons. One, as most of us know who have been around electric vehicles, generally it's harder to hear them. That's why many electric vehicles kind of have this hum or whatever that kind of amplifies from them, because there's, you know, it's electric. There's no engine to rev up necessarily. So people couldn't hear the vehicle as well coming down the street. Number two, it has really quick pickup. In other words, when you hit the accelerator, EVs will tend to accelerate quicker at a quicker rate than a gasoline-powered engine. And if you watch the video from this, which has now been released, what happened was, because they made a lot of these, that the, I'll call them just barriers, because that's what most common people call them, either cement or metal or whatever, all on the roads, they were being replaced in preparation for the Super Bowl in New Orleans next month. So there were police cars at the start of the street to block off someone from doing this. What they didn't do is put some sort of blockade on the attached sidewalk. And it's not clear at this point, it doesn't sound like, even if the barriers were in place, the proper barriers, there weren't going to be any on the sidewalk, according to what I've seen. So what this guy did is he got up to the police car and then just hit the accelerator and went up onto the sidewalk right around the police car and then just wreaked havoc right down the street. Going to tell you how this was reported and why it's important. Come on back. It's the Todd Allball Show for a Tuesday on the Civic Media Radio Network.
News from the Center, WRCE.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. As 2024 comes to a close, we're taking our annual look back at the year that was, recapping our most read, most listened to, and most impactful stories of the year. If you're new to learning about the recombobulation area, this would be a great place to start to see what we're all about. This year, we covered the RNC in Milwaukee and the DNC in Chicago and broke stories that made national news along the way. We wrote about the fight for fair maps and covered elections in the state legislature like no one else. I wrote opinion columns and feature stories and conducted extended sit-down interviews like one with Senator Tammy Baldwin. I hosted podcasts and radio shows, and of course, joined the Civic Media Network, where you've heard me all over the airwaves for the last few months. This last year was discombobulating at times, but we did our best to make sense of it all, and we've got a whole lot more recombobulation in store for the year ahead in 2025.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Rudolph is a holiday classic, and there's a Wisconsin connection. Maury Laws composed music for the animated show in 1964. He continued arranging hundreds of songs from his Appleton home after leaving New York 20 years later. During that time, Laws created one quirky pop song. Do you know what it is? The answer coming up.
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, sort of where a lot of people's core Christmas memories come from.
Emily Locke with the Oshkosh Museum on holiday traditions around Rudolph. Laws worked for the TV production company behind the show and also wrote music for Frosty the Snowman. And about the silly song he composed. Yes, itsy bitsy teeny weeny yellow polka dot bikini. Laws died in 2019 at the age of 95, but his music lives on as a wonderful slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
Wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Tattleball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 21 now past the hour of 12 noon on Thursday, January 2nd, 2025. Many people going back to work, back to school today. Some folks still have off today and tomorrow, but many of us heading back to work. Always a little tougher when the holiday comes in the middle of the week. We'll talk about that in hour number two with what's worse. Right now, though, going through news, a very busy New Year's Day news day, talking about the tragedy, the terrorist attack in New Orleans in the early morning hours yesterday, giving you the facts, first of all, and then going to see how this was covered by some folks, and also what the spin on this is and why it's important moving into 2025. Also, a bit later, going to take a look at the speaker's race for the House of Representatives of Washington, D.C. tomorrow. So, the guy that perpetrated this, the alleged suspect, you have to call him that at this point, 42-year-old Samsud Din Jabbar. Here's the facts. The guy was born in Texas. He is an American citizen. Served in the United States Army, was honorably discharged by all reports, according to many news sources and the Department of Defense. Then went into the reserves, tried to get into, or at least initially tried to then get into the Navy, but never actually went through the proper channels, was discharged within a couple of weeks. But spent years and was deployed as an American soldier, veteran. That is the fact. President Biden, speaking to the nation last night, said federal agents are investigating whether the truck attack in New Orleans was linked to an explosion of a Tesla Cybertruck outside President-elect Donald Trump's Las Vegas hotel, which occurred yesterday afternoon. A lot of apprehension. That's why it's important to kind of let these things play out, let the facts become known. So the attack in New Orleans happened about 3 o'clock in the morning on Wednesday, on New Year's Day. And then somewhere in the late morning hours, a truck explodes, a Tesla Cybertruck, they call it. Right outside the front doors of the Las Vegas hotel that's owned by Donald Trump. Biden said, quote, "There's nothing to report on that score at this time," unquote. The truck appeared to be carrying fireworks when it caught fire and exploded Wednesday. One person died and several others were injured. It appears that the driver of that truck was an active duty United States service member, also an American citizen. Joe Biden said that the New Orleans attacker had posted video on social media indicating he was inspired by the Islamic State group, ISIS. Biden said the man had expressed, quote, "a desire to kill," unquote. He said the investigation remains fluid. The president said, quote, "I grieve with you. Our nation grieves with you," unquote. So this is, as a person that drives a white truck, right? It always seems to be a white vehicle. And indeed, this is a white Ford electric vehicle. And on the back was a ISIS flag. Apparently, from early reporting, this guy, an American citizen, a soldier, a veteran who had deployed to Afghanistan, had recently, in recent months, been radicalized by the extreme Islamic groups. Had cut his hair, changed his looks, his appearance, his demeanor. And I'm watching the press conference yesterday. Watched a lot of these, been kind of a quasi part of a couple of these, not on the huge national scale, but on the state scale. By all accounts, the press conference yesterday in New Orleans was an abject failure. Because normally at these things, you always have kind of one person or agency in charge, and it's very regimented. And people say they're on the same page. And part of the problem with the press conference in New Orleans yesterday is you had this goofball, the U.S. Senator Kennedy, Republican, that represents Louisiana. He insists on getting up there and starts cracking partisan jokes against the media, a la Trump. Didn't do anybody any good. And they were contradicting, whether it was the local people or the federal people or the politicians, they were contradicting each other. A lot of confusion. Early on, what they insinuated was that this guy was not working alone. They've since raided his house or where he came from in Houston, talked to other people, and now just this morning they held another press conference, the FBI, saying that it appears, keyword appears, at this moment, they feel that this individual acted alone. And so they're allowing the Sugar Bowl to go on this afternoon at 3 o'clock. They plan to open up Bourbon Street around 2:30. Which is, as cold as it might seem, important. Because you think about, and again, part of terror, or a lot, the reason there are terrorists is to create terror. I know that sounds like a pretty obvious thing to say, right? But it's meant to change our habits, change how we do things, change how we think. Think about all the people from Georgia and Notre Dame who flew into New Orleans, planned on going to the game last night, and had plane reservations to leave today. I mean, these tickets are not cheap, at least a couple hundred bucks a pop. And now some of these people are probably just going to have to get in the plane and go home and never see the game. I know that's secondary to the loss of life. I totally get that. But I'm just saying the domino effect here. If people are going to stay, they got to redo their plane fares. They got to see if there's hotels available. We have all these restaurants and hotels that brought in all kinds of food and drink for this game. Much of it perishable. Again, that is far secondary to the loss of life, 100%. But I'm just saying these are all things that have to be taken into consideration with these things. It is a terrorist act. It is meant to cause terrorism. It is meant to disrupt life. But for this guy Kennedy, the senator down there, to be using this terrible moment of tragedy to somehow score political points was just embarrassing. What was even more embarrassing, perhaps, and this is the important part we're going to get to here after the break. Don't go anywhere. We're going to walk through this. That as this unfolded, Fox News reported that this was a foreigner. Blamed it on open borders. You see what's going on? For folks that only get their news from Fox News, they think this is a quote-unquote illegal who came across the border and it's Joe Biden's fault. We'll tell you why it's not and why facts matter. It's the Todd Allball Show right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Don't go anywhere. Your phone calls as well. 855-752-4842 on a Tuesday, January 2nd.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Happy New Year. I'm Stephanie Hoff for the Midwest Farm Report, along with you on the second day of 2025. The past year saw strong export activity for dairy products, supporting dairy markets despite challenges like heat stress and the bird flu. Mike North joins us. He's the principal of risk management with EverAg. He says looking forward, watching those international markets is going to be important, particularly Mexico.
Mexico, by far and away, is our largest buyer of dairy products. And as we bring in this new administration, some of the talk around tariff and specifically pointed towards the issues in Mexico around the border and some of the nearshoring issues that we're going to chase after, that tariff might be used to ultimately try to gain some leverage in the conversation over those two concerns.
Mike North, along with us from EverAg, he says as cheese production expands here in the U.S., international buys are going to be critical to balance supply and demand in 2025. Stick around. We'll take a look at our midday commodity prices next.
Can you predict the future? I can't. That's why when I'm planting soybeans, I treat with Heads Up seed treatment. With more than 15 years of research, Heads Up offers proven protection against both white mold and sudden death syndrome. So no matter what the year throws at you, you've already taken that first step to be prepared. Don't let your beans suffer from disease when they're just starting to look their best. Tell your seed dealer you need Heads Up seed treatment. Learn more at headsupst.com.
There goes Pam Yonke across Wisconsin in her suburban truck. Thanks to Equity Livestock Cooperative, marketing your livestock, financing your operation, and supporting the livestock community since 1922. And to Cleary Building Corp. Cleary Building Corp. Built with pride before the shamrock is applied. Explore clearybuilding.com today. Keep up with Pam at MidwestFarmReport.com and on Facebook and Instagram.
After taking a break for New Year's Day, markets opened up this morning at 8:30. Here's what's happening to kick off a new year. Cash corn is up a half a cent at $4.59 a bushel. December new crop corn is up 2.5 cents at $4.46 1/4. Cash soybeans are up 3 3/4 cents, trading at $10.02 a bushel. And November new crop beans are up 6.5 cents at $10.31 3/4. Cash wheat is down 3 3/4 cents at $5.47 3/4. And July new crop wheat is 2 3/4 cents lower at $5.66 3/4. Class 3 milk contracts are seeing a lift today. The January contract is up 14 cents at $20.45 a hundredweight. The February contract is also up 14 cents at $20.52 a hundredweight. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
More clouds than sunshine today, with high temperatures reaching the mid-20s. But with winds becoming feisty out of the northwest, it's creating wind chills. And feeling sub-zero by tomorrow morning. We do have a bright and beautiful day on tap, but with highs in the teens, it'll be feeling more like the single digits. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
Right now, it's 25 degrees.
Matt and Air on Air. This shouldn't be a thing.
Hot Dr. Pepper is the hottest holiday drink, but is it any good?
Jade, I'd like to answer that question.
Yes.
No. Have you ever had a hot soda in your life?
Yes, they're terrible. You can also do apparently 80% eggnog and 20% Dr. Pepper.
Get out of my country.
Matt and Air on Air, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Earl Ingram.
Join me on the next show. Sandy Weavens will be here to ring in the new year, and we'll discuss the biggest issues affecting everyday Americans headed into 2025.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 till 10.
Yeah, freedom. Pursuing truth wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Tallyball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 34 now past the hour of 12 noon on this first live show of 2025 here at the All-Ball Show on this Thursday, January 2nd. Zomers on the board. Taking your phone calls, 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Going to get to you in a bit here. This election coming up tomorrow in D.C., the House Speaker. Is Mike Johnson in trouble, and how could it affect the certification on January 6th of President-elect Donald Trump? Also, have you heard of this, Somers? Norovirus.
Yeah, I know some people who got it.
Really?
Yeah.
Knock on wood, so far not me. But we're later on in the show talking about norovirus, how to help prevent the spread of it. And if you have it, please stay home because I hear it's apparently highly contagious.
Oh, very contagious.
Yeah. So talking about that in hour two as well, our what's worse for the day involving midweek holidays. Going to want to stay tuned for that. But right now, talking about the top serious news stories of the day. Again, according to Channel 3000 here in Madison, a kindergartner has dead after an accident involving a school bus in Waukesha County. A kindergartner died this morning after an accident involving a bus at Silver Springs Intermediate School in Sussex. In a letter to families, Hamilton School District Superintendent Paul Milkey said the 4K student was at SSI to get on a shuttle bus bound for Willow Springs Learning Center. The district would not share further information on the tragedy out of respect to the child's family. And here in Madison, again, according to Channel 3000, the Wisconsin Election Commission voted this morning to investigate the Madison City Clerk's Office after 193 unprocessed absentee ballots were found during a post-election audit process. The commission, made up of six members appointed by both Democrats and Republicans, argued a lack of transparency from the Madison clerk require the commission to dig into the process. Important to note, as Zomers did in hour one, that according to the Dane County officials, there would have been no difference. All 193 unprocessed ballots had gone to one individual, would have been no difference in any outcomes, but still important to get to the bottom of this. Also talking about the top news stories yesterday, again, this terrorist attack with the president, FBI officials are calling a terrorist attack. Now in New Orleans, 15 now counted dead, including the shooter, the alleged shooter. At least 30 more injured and some in critical condition. And simultaneous, well, that's not accurate. Later on in the day, this happened, this attack in New Orleans happened about 3 o'clock in the morning after things started dying down a bit on Bourbon Street in New Orleans. Later in the morning, out in Las Vegas, a Tesla truck exploded in front of the front doors of the Trump Hotel in Las Vegas. According to reporting now, updating, according to NBC, the driver of the Cybertruck that exploded outside Trump International Hotel in Las Vegas was a member of the elite Army Special Forces known as the Green Berets. Law enforcement today was seen outside of a home in Colorado Springs, where Matthew Livelsberger apparently lived. Here's the statement from FBI in Denver. Says the Denver Field Division of the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives and the Colorado Springs Police Department are conducting law enforcement activities at a residential address in Colorado Springs. FBI Denver personnel and specialized teams will be on site for several hours. This activity is related to the explosion in Las Vegas on Wednesday. Due to an ongoing nature of the investigation, no further information will be provided out of the Denver FBI. What they're saying now, and again, this is in the early stages, they don't believe, officials, that this was in conjunction or coordinated with the attacker in New Orleans. This morning, FBI officials held an updated press conference saying despite early reports, including from that kind of debacle of a press conference in New Orleans yesterday, it appears this guy in New Orleans, another American citizen, acted alone, but was radicalized by the extreme Islamic group ISIS. So those are the facts. Now, here's what's interesting and also disappointing. And we talked about this a little bit earlier this week on the show. As we move now into 2025 and we're under 20 days, whatever it is, 17 days or so away from Donald Trump being sworn in for his second term of president, I think it's critical for what we're doing on this show to bring you facts, confirmed information, and then juxtapose that to help us understand a little bit of what happened back in November at the election. Because if you were watching one news source, you get a very different picture than what I just told you over the last 20 minutes or so. According to CNN, and this kind of breaks it down, and I'll interject with my analysis, says an erroneous early Fox News report about New Orleans terror attack is warping the political dialogue in the aftermath of the deadly rampage. The false report from Fox, which was attributed to anonymous sources, confused the public. And the article says, and evidently President-elect Donald Trump too. I don't think he was confused. I think he knew exactly what he was doing. The article says this misinformation is still circulating more than 24 hours later, serving as a cautionary tale about the news ecosystem as the new year begins. During the 10 a.m. hour yesterday, Fox reported that the New Orleans suspect's truck crossed the U.S. border in Eagle Pass, Texas, quote-unquote, 2 days ago. Some of the right-wing network's coverage explicitly said the suspect drove across the border, leaving viewers with the impression that a foreigner might be responsible for the deadly carnage. In fact, as we said, the New Orleans attack suspect was a United States citizen born here and an Army veteran. But those facts were not publicly established at the time Fox aired the faulty information. 8 minutes after the first Fox segment that mentioned the border, President-elect Donald Trump issued a statement about quote-unquote criminals coming in, unquote, from other countries. While Trump did not mention Fox directly, he is known to be an avid consumer of the cable network and has tapped several of his personalities for his incoming cabinet. Some of Trump's family members and political allies also immediately connected the attack to quote-unquote illegal immigration, as cited by Fox. Here's what Don Jr. wrote, quote, Biden's parting gift to America, migrant terrorists, unquote. Sharing the Fox claim on X, Marjorie Taylor Greene, Republican in Congress, exclaimed, quote, shut the border down, unquote. Now, Fox tried to walk back the incorrect report about an hour and a half later. The network said the truck used in the attack was actually in Eagle Pass nearly 2 months ago, not 2 days ago. More importantly, the truck was being driven by someone else at the time. It was available on the car rental app Turo. So the details about the border were completely irrelevant. As we said at the top of the show, this app Turo, who I've not heard of before this and never used, apparently, and this might be part, may, keyword may be part of the terrorist thinking, alleged terrorists, that unlike when you go to Enterprise Rent-A-Car, they take all your, you know, everything but a DNA sample, basically. So if you cause any damage, it's easy to know who you are and who rented that vehicle. Apparently, Turo is kind of sort of like an Airbnb where, hey, this is the name I'm giving you. I give you a credit card, never meet you, and I pick up the thing, and that's it. A lot less detailed order to get. Someone else had this truck in Texas, allegedly, completely unrelated to what happened yesterday. But Fox News conveniently left that out. According back to this article on CNN, but the damage was already done. References to Eagle Pass continued to spread across social media. Fox continued to stream a clip on its website of the incorrect information. Quote, some Republicans continued to beat the border drum well after Fox News retracted its initial report, unquote, according to the Daily Beast's Josh Faleo. Ironically, Trump's original statement used the New Orleans attack to say that he was right and the quote-unquote fake news media was wrong about the threat posed by illegal immigration. If he had waited a couple of hours to react, he would have learned that the suspect, as we said, was indeed a U.S. citizen. A Fox News spokesperson did not respond to a request for comment about the misreporting. And again, unfortunately, key word and stress on unfortunately, this is a good opportunity in terms of having a real-life example. And then look, it's fair for listeners of this program or other times. And this is one of my goals for 2025. Be more intentional. Make sure I'm giving you facts. Make sure I'm giving you examples of what I'm talking about. So it's one thing for me to say, well, you know, Donald Trump always exaggerates, or, you know, Fox News are a bunch of liars. It's better for me to do what I just did. Give you factual information of what really happened and a clear example of what Donald Trump and the right-wing media did. And now we start to really get down, as Judge Weitzman says, where the chickens can get at it. Look at this one example. Now, amplify that across months of the 2024 election. And I truly believe that that may have been the largest reason that Donald Trump got reelected. Is you have otherwise rational and decent people in our communities, our friends and our neighbors, who we go to church with, we play golf with, we sit next to in church pews. And they go home and they watch a very specific form of media, Fox News being the big one. And they trust, well, it can't be on TV. They can't say it unless it's true. Because a lot of those folks still live in the Walter Cronkite era in their mind in terms of, well, media like that's not going to lie. And so they believe it to be the truth. And you get a steady diet of that for weeks and months, and then you go into the voting booth and you vote according to what you believe to be the truth. And that's why I'm taking it up as a critical mission for our show in 2025 to really lean into what we say every day, pursuing truth wherever it may lead. And just like the other story there in Madison, look, I mean, if it's I'm a former Republican who's not a card-carrying member of any organization, any political organization right now. So I don't care whether it embarrasses Democrats or Republicans. I just want the truth out there because you deserve that. We deserve that. And I believe that if we're given the truth, as Lincoln said, we'll make good choices. So I think it's a good example, a very fortunate, sad, tragic example. But a good example of how we can see what's true and what's not true. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. And as we say, we're going to have some fun along the way as well. In hour two, we'll ask the question, what's worse, midweek holidays or... Are you a fan of midweek holidays, Albers?
I mean, I'll take it over not having it.
It kind of messes up the equilibrium a little bit for me.
Very much so, yes.
But we'll talk about that a little before we come back. Also, want to get this in on the other side. Big election. No, we're not involved in it directly. Big election tomorrow in Washington, D.C. for House Speaker. Mike Johnson's allies warning that a speakership battle could delay Donald Trump's victory celebration. What? It could happen. I mean, these days you never know. We'll come back, explain, take your phone calls as well. 855-752-4842 is the Todd Allball Show for a Thursday. See, midweek vacation.
Midweek holidays.
We're on the Civic Media Radio Network.
News from the center, WRCE. You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. In November 2022, Michigan voters passed a constitutional amendment enshrining voting protections and expanding ballot access. After the legislature implemented the voters' directive, GOP legislators sued, claiming that only the legislature could make such changes. Proposition 2 mandated 9 days of early voting, protections for voters and election workers from harassment, and a tracking system for absentee ballots. It allowed for the funding of secure drop boxes and the counting of military and overseas ballots if postmarked by Election Day, and several other reforms. Conjuring the independent state legislature theory, which argues that the U.S. Constitution allows only legislatures to control election law, 11 Michigan GOP legislators sued. On December 20th, the Federal Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals affirmed the lower court's denial of the Michigan legislators' claim. But importantly, it did so saying that while the individual legislators had no standing to bring the case, a full legislature could, leaving the door open a crack. The U.S. Supreme Court mostly dismissed the theory in 2023's Moore v. Harper case, but Justices Thomas, Gorsuch, and Alito appear to be all in on the theory. For the moment, the pro-voter reforms in Michigan are safe, but be watching for the independent state legislature theory to pop up again soon. We have the decision at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Matt Nair on air. This shouldn't be a thing.
Hot Dr. Pepper is the hottest holiday drink, but is it any good?
Jane, I'd like to answer that question.
Yes.
No. Have you ever had a hot soda in your life?
Yes, they're terrible. You can also do apparently 80% eggnog and 20% Dr. Pepper.
Get out of my country.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. This is News from the Center, WRCE.
It may lead, and having fun doing it. 9 minutes now past the hour, pardon me, 9 minutes before the hour of one day off. I'm a little rusty. Sorry about that. Here on the Civic Media Radio Network. 9 minutes before the hour, 1 o'clock. We put hour two, as we said. What's worse? Taking your phone calls then. Taking phone calls now. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Talking before the break a little bit about why this matters, that Fox News reported erroneously that the attacker in New Orleans had come across the border. The truck that was used had come across the border, insinuated this was quote-unquote illegals doing this, which is completely false. And Donald Trump then amplified that in people around him. And Fox News barely did a retraction, but still continued to talk about and amplify the lies about what happened. Matt in Middleton, listening on WMDX, texted in on the Civic Media app, you can too, saying, quote, as a fan of sci-fi and Orwell, I'm concerned that we are sleepwalking into the world of 1984, where truth is where you're told and fear is the state's objective. Truth is what you're told, pardon me, and fear is the state's objective. Regardless of facts, there are a lot of people living in fear of the other and will be easily controlled. Truth must matter, unquote. Thank you, Matt in Middleton. Roger listening in Stevens Point, perhaps up on WFHR up there in Wisconsin Rapids, but Roger's in Point saying, there it is, listening to WFHR, the biggest hurdle is realizing that we need to hear, not what we want to hear.
Realizing what we need to hear.
Oh, very good. Well, yeah, what we need to hear. And not what we want to hear. That's a great point, Roger. It's a great point. Jay in Fountain City listening to WLCX saying, I agree with Matt over there in beautiful La Crosse. I do too, Jay. Matt's got a great point. But so does Roger. And again, I know there's a lot of folks out there that say, and a lot of people ask this earnestly, and say, look, how can we talk to folks that are voting for the other side, for MAGA candidates or for Trump? How can we convince them that that's not a good thing? And I think part of that is listening to them. Now, I never voted for MAGA because I left the Republican Party in 2011. But as one person who spent 30 years working for the Republican Party and left in 2011 before Trump and MAGA, the reason I left that party wasn't because anybody yelled at me, wasn't because they said, you're stupid, wasn't because they said, well, if you voted for Tommy Thompson and George W. Bush, you must be an extremist. You must be a racist. What's the matter with you? No. I heard some of those things. Honestly, that just makes me dig in harder, made me dig in harder. I left because I had a unique opportunity to see behind the curtain and see that not people I was working for, but a party I was supporting was doing things antithetical or in contrast or different than what I believed in. They were trying to suppress voting rights and pass legislation that took the right to vote away from someone. And that was a bridge too far for me. And I said, I can't. So it was the opportunity to be given facts and then ask myself, do those facts line up with what I believe? And when they didn't, I said, adios. So I think the most important thing we can do here is give people facts. That's why we're here. Going to continue this on the other side, but I want to get to this because I said I would before the end of the hour. House Speaker Mike Johnson's allies are leaning into a key argument in a bid to avoid a chaotic floor fight over the gavel tomorrow. A vote against Johnson could delay the finalization of Donald Trump's White House win. A day before the speaker's election, Johnson, who has now been endorsed, by the way, by Trump to keep the top leadership post, is still racing to win over multiple Republican holdouts. A scenario that some Republicans privately fear could lead to another days-long protracted floor fight. At this time, there's a huge shadow over the race. Congress has never before tried to certify a presidential election without a House Speaker in place. Even senior Republicans say it's unclear what would happen if there is no Speaker on January 6th, when Congress is scheduled to certify Trump's win, and they're not eager to find out, by the way. According to Don Bacon of Nebraska, a Republican, said to oppose Johnson now weakens the GOP and strengthens Hakeem Jeffries, the Democratic leader. It also puts at risk the Electoral College certification scheduled for January 6th. These guys deserve or serve as a fifth column, quote unquote, for the Dems, unquote, according to Don Bacon. The House can't conduct any official business without a speaker. Let me say that again. According to rules of the House cannot conduct official business without a speaker, which means there is no clear option to certify Trump's win without one. The message so far from Congress's own parliamentarians to the party leadership has been this: elect a speaker before January 6th. In other words, we don't want to go there. We are getting into uncharted territory. 855-752-4842. Let's go quickly to Matt, listening on WMDX in Middleton. Matt, you got about a minute. Let's see. Less than a minute. Go ahead.
Hey, Todd. I just wanted to mention one way to kind of reach across to MAGA as a guy that's center-left is we have to admit that no side owns the truth. And people, you know, MAGA has some good points as well. And to just say that everything's wrong with a particular ideology or side is kind of erroneous in its own way. So
yeah,
we should admit that they're not wrong about the elite destroying the country and right. Wall Street and all these other issues.
So. Finding common ground. I love it, Matt. Absolutely. Thank you very much. Stay tuned. More calls on the other side. What's worse and more is the All Ball Show on Civic Media.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, hard to believe the one-year anniversary of Matinair on air. We're going to celebrate and wrap it all up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. I hope you can join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10. Matinair on air. This shouldn't be a thing.
Hot Dr. Pepper is the hottest holiday drink, but is it any good?
Jane, I'd like to answer that question.
Yes.
No. Have you ever had a hot soda in your life?
Yes, they're terrible. You can also do apparently 80% eggnog and 20% Dr. Pepper.
Get out of my country.
Matt and Air on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center, and always on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News New Orleans Attack. I'm Dave Packer. He was 100% inspired by ISIS. That from the FBI investigating a man who drove a pickup truck down Bourbon Street, mowing down New Year's revelers early yesterday morning, killing 14, injuring dozens more before police shot him dead. And it's believed that U.S.-born military veteran Shamsuddin Jabbar acted alone. ABC News senior investigative reporter Aaron Katursky.
He rented the truck on December 30th. On December 31st, New Year's Eve, he began driving from Texas to Louisiana, recording five videos in under an hour, beginning at about 1:30 in the morning. Those videos declared his support for ISIS. Also, his intention to kill members of his own family, but he thought that wouldn't send the kind of political message he intended to send. That's why he apparently chose Bourbon Street for his attack.
So far, the FBI has found no link to the Cybertruck explosion in Las Vegas the same day. This is ABC News.
You can always